You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
We just wrapped up a series here at Journey Church last week called Stories of Christmas Past. And my goodness, each message, we really went as all out as we could. Each single message over the past 3-4 weeks had a custom built set right here behind me, and we really talked about how Christmas was celebrated within different eras inside of our nation's history, and we kicked the series off with the 1860s. This is how they celebrated Christmas in the 1860s. So we built this big custom set to make it look like a home in the 1860s, and then the next service or next weekend we dug into the 1930s and talked about how they celebrated Christmas in the Great Depression. And they turned the set into a home, that what a home looked like in the Great Depression. And then we ended up ending the series in the infamous 1980s. Come on, somebody. And we made it look like the 80s, wood paneling, mullets, and turtlenecks. You know, the 80s. Amen. And it was just a wonderful series we had, just really trying to display Christmas in a really creative, great way. Now we're here at our Christmas services. And you know, we thought long and hard at what we could do today to build, to illustrate, if you would, one of the greatest moments in human history. What could we construct? What could we display that could truly honor and represent the moment God came to save mankind? And after some prayer, I felt inside a direction, if you would, from God to abandon the need in building some grandiose display and instead illustrate the greatest moment in human history with a very simple sight. This right here will be our illustration today. A feeding trough was most likely where he was laid that night. A place where animals eat. Surrounded inside of a manger, a stable, some theologians would say a cave is what was the site of the birthplace of the newborn king. Quite a filthy place, actually, where a young couple had no choice but to stay that night and deliver her child. A young couple had no choice to stay. There was nowhere else to go because of the overcrowdedness in the area due to the mandatory census that Rome was putting on the citizens of Israel to return to the cities of their birth and report to the census. It was here in Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph became parents of a child who was not of this world. Instead, He was the one who created this world. And here he lay that night. What a situation to be put on Mary and Joseph. For them to imagine through their eyes wrapping your young minds around this right here. I mean, they, I am certain, knew this child was special, obviously. This is a miraculous conception. They knew this child was special, but I'm not sure they really knew just how special he would prove himself to be. They knew he was divine, but did they really have an understanding that night in looking at this infant child, just how that divinity would be displayed with his life in his latter years? They knew that he came to save, but did they know just how he would save? Because I'm certain in looking at this cradle, they never saw a cross in this moment, in the plans. Did they really know who this child was lying in this feeding trough? For this child would be someone who would show an ability outside of the realms of this world. This child would later show an ability to manipulate earthly elements to work in such a way where water could be walked on, or abilities that could turn that water, abilities that could turn that H2O into C2H6OCI, COHC3CI, or as they say in layman's term, wine. Like, how do you do that? Did they know this little voice making faint whimpers in this feeding trough would one day boldly call a man from a tomb who'd been lying there dead 4 days? Did they know this precious little finger that he had would one day draw a line in the dirt to make one of the greatest points ever known to a group of religious rioters ready to stone a woman caught in the act of adultery just to save her? And the point he made was this: with that finger in the dirt, there isn't anyone on this earth without sin. Did they know who this really was lying in this feeding trough? Or as the song you just heard Tim so eloquently sing states, this child Mary delivered has really come to deliver her. For he is the one who John the Baptist would 30 years from this moment pronounce after seeing him walk down a Galilean hill into the Jordan River to be baptized. He would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's what we've come here today to celebrate. Ultimate freedom. True spiritual freedom. And that freedom is available to everyone here in this room. That freedom is available to everybody here in this world. And that freedom was first found 2,000 years ago, tonight, in a feeding trough. A feeding trough. Think about it. God chose here. Let me say that again, because it's tough to register that in my mind. God chose here to be born inside of what many would consider to be the most humble of circumstances. Not in a palace where a king ought to be born, but a manger where a lamb ought to be born. Not wrapped in the finest silk that money could buy, but linens an infant animal cared for by a shepherd would be wrapped in. The circumstances that surrounded Christ this night shows us that he chose to be born inside of this filth and stench-filled atmosphere found in a manger. And to me, in my interpretation, it illustrates just how passionate he was to roll up his sleeves and get to work in our dirt, in our stench, in our filth as humanity, to show us a love that doesn't discriminate, regardless of how clean you may think or consider yourselves to be, to give us a grace that doesn't disqualify, no matter what stain may be attached to our lives. He came to offer us a mercy that doesn't ever cease to cover our mess. Come on, somebody. Somebody say a good amen. You see, he came to take our dirt. He came to take your mess, your muck, your mire. He came to take our sin from our lives and replace it with his love and forgiveness for that sin in your life. And let me say this to you, no matter who you are, you qualify. That even from the most grimiest places on earth, if one would only put their faith in him, well, then one would find a path from the most grimiest place on earth to the most beautiful place in heaven for all eternity. This is the true meaning of Christmas. Somebody say a good amen. The real gift is this right here. This is the gift. And I want to encourage you today, if you haven't already, to receive this gift in your life. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you to receive the greatest gift that could ever be given to you for Christmas. And I know we're all Americans, and it's Christmas time. And usually when we think about a gift at Christmas time, our excitement goes to the gifts that we will find packed underneath of the tree delivered to us by Santa on Christmas morning. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing to have a focus such as that. I mean, some of the greatest memories I had growing up was when Santa left gifts for me and my sister growing up. And then we would go and find out that Santa ate all of the enchiladas and milk that we left for him that night. You've heard me say this before. You see, y'all grew up with a white Santa. We grew up with a Mexican Santa in our house, amen. When I asked my dad, why does Santa want enchiladas and not cookies? My dad said, Santa's had enough cookies all around the world. He wants some enchiladas tonight for Christmas Eve, amen. And he ate them. He ate them. And those are great memories. Can I tell you this? As we wrap up our time here today, the greatest memory in my life was the day I opened my heart to the one who created my heart to give me the greatest gift I could ever hope to have. I'm talking about the gift of eternal life. And can I tell you, if you haven't received that gift, in order for that to happen for you, in order to receive that gift in your life, a gift must be brought to him in exchange from you. And you may be saying, what could I possibly give to him that would in any way match what he wants to give me? I'm reminded of a story of a single mom and her son that were attending a church service. It was Christmas Eve, and the family had fallen on hard times and didn't have much to do. And it was around that point in the service where they just felt the presence of the Lord. And it was a great, nostalgic, incredible experience as they sung Christmas carols and the messages from the pastor and the team and the way they were being loved. But then it came to be offering time, and the collection plate started to be get passed around, and the boy heard the pastor say, everybody in this room should strive to give something in this season we call giving. So I encourage everybody to find something to give in response to all that God has given us. And this little boy, about 9 years old, reached into his pocket and pulled out nothing but the felt, and reached into his other pocket and pulled out nothing but felt and fabric, and didn't have anything, and saw the plate coming down, and his mom reached in, and all she had was a dollar, and wouldn't you know, she gave that dollar, but when the plate was passed to the son, he held it there for a moment until passing it on, sad, and an idea came to him, and he grabbed that plate back from the person that he handed it to and set it right there on the ground and stepped into the plate. And his mother said, "Son, what are you doing?" And she said, I don't have anything to give God this season, but I figured since I don't have money, I could give him the next best thing. I figured I could just give him me." How many love the faith found in a child? I love that story. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says this. The tail end of this verse, right? "Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin." I love this right here. "Instead, give yourselves completely to God." How many know that boy had it right in that offering? Because God wouldn't want anything less. Because if he can have your whole life, my goodness, then he can bless your whole life. And he wouldn't want to bless anything less than everything that makes up you. Come on, isn't that what it's all about? You giving him your life in exchange for him giving you his. And that is what was found in this feeding trough. In a little manger located right outside the foothills of Bethlehem, where the greatest act of love was ever shown, by a king abandoning his throne to embrace a cross, to ensure that you and I know that we are loved and that we are his children. For on this night, the earth witnessed the greatest becoming the least, so that we might discover that we were created for greatness. It was here where we saw a father give us his son so that we might be saved. And if you haven't already, I want to ask Pastor Tim if he would to come. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you today to step into that offering plate. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you to put yourself in that collection plate and give him you. What greater gift could be given on Christmas Eve than your heart being placed in the nail-scarred hands of our Savior?
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.